Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I am excited to have Allison Nissen with me here today. Would you like to introduce yourself, tell us about who you are, and what you do?
Yes, thank you for having me. I am a writer. I am a professor. I'm a co-founder, but I mostly do battle with dog hair and laundry.
Is that too brief?
No, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. You said that you're an author, you're a professor, you do dog hair and laundry. I want to know how you got into writing and then how that transitioned into being a professor and how you got started, essentially.
I have a story, like so many people have a story. So in growing up, I was an undiagnosed dyslexic, and school was not necessarily difficult, but I could not spell. I didn't have any teachers that believed in me. So if you couldn't spell, you couldn't do anything. That's the message I received. And I had parents who disagreed with that. So fortunately, they encouraged me. I was able to go on. I went to college. I was a literature major. And when I was a senior in college, I had a professor who had a conversation with me one time. I was obviously upset. He had given me a grade back and it was a B, but I was a senior and it was a class I loved and I was so upset. And he looked at me and he's, Allison, if you were a writer, you would have an editor. And those words changed my life, not immediately, but they set with me. And the expression, if you were, you would, just opened up a door that I didn't realize could ever exist. And as I moved on to my work world, I became the go-to writing person. Hey, Allison, could you write this letter to this person? So it was always with words. And the more I was writing for other people, the more I realized how much fun I was having. I was married to a Marine and we bounced around and we lived in a location where they had a position available for somebody to be an emergency professor at a college, which meant that there wasn't anybody that had a graduate degree available. So they were looking for somebody with just an English degree. And I happened to fit the bill. I walked into my first classroom and I fell in love and decided to go to graduate school. And from there, I became a professor. I loved it. I loved every second of it. And I was up for a promotion to full-time faculty. And my competition had written a book. And I didn't get that job because they had a book under their belt. And I looked into the mirror and thought, okay, I need to step up and I need to write a book. But writing a book is really hard. So I don't know if you've written a book or not, but writing a book is really hard. So I was 45,000 words into a book that just was going nowhere. But I had made a name for myself in our community as a writer. I was leading a writer's group. I was involved. And someone had written an article about me in the newspaper. And one of the people who lived nearby read the article and thought I would be the perfect person to write their story. And at that point, I became a ghostwriter. I didn't know what it was. I had to do a lot of research. But his story was everything that a writer would want. It was just really a deep and an intellectual story, and it was a true crime story. So there was a murder, a capital murder in there, and it was just this heartbreaking story. But as a writer, that's makes it easy because you can really tap into all the emotions. And I started writing stories for other people, and that is really how I landed as a writer.
Okay, so now I want to ask you more about ghostwriting, because as someone who's an artist or creative, I've written myself. I'm wondering how it feels to tell somebody else's story and envision yourself. Do you ever get critiques from the person you're ghostwriting for saying, oh, that's not how I felt in that moment? And then do you get those critiques once it's finished, or is it during the process? And how do you make sure it runs smoothly?
Great questions. I conduct a lot of interviews. And the first handful of interviews are really just getting to know the person. You need to figure out how they think and the way they would make decisions. You need to know little tiny things like quirks that they have. How do they say things? Do they say everybody or everyone? It's something simple like that. When you put yourself into this other person's voice, you need to really explore all of who they are. So asking a lot of questions, and sometimes they're similar questions, so that you get to look at the same topic from different angles. The most important part, however, is moving your ego aside. So something I might think is fantastic, it's beautiful, it's written gracefully, they might hate it, and it's their book. I am the writer, they are the author, and I have no ego in it at all. I've heard somebody describe ghostwriting as almost like becoming an actor. How would the character be portrayed? Would they do something this way or would they do it that way? And I don't live that person's life, but I do put myself in their scenarios and they explain something that's happened. For example, most of the time when I'm ghostwriting memoir and I think about how I would show up for the scenario, and then I think about how they would show up for the scenario, and I try to blend it such that I anticipate how they were feeling, what they were thinking, where their decisions would go, what they were seeing, what they were feeling, bringing all the senses into it. And those are questions you have to ask. And another tricky part about being a ghostwriter is to not become their therapist, because as they start to reveal their story and they're peeling back all the different layers that have happened to them, you're not there to analyze them and give them an answer. You're there to listen and to translate their thoughts into words that audiences will appreciate. Now, have they ever come back to me and said, that's not how I would say it, that's not how I would do it? Yes, of course they do. But that's all part of the process. And then afterward, I typically don't get a whole bunch of critiques. Some of them will be like, oh my gosh, you said this thing, and I would never say that, but it would be something I wouldn't have any clue about. Type of engine in a car that they missed when they were proofreading. And it's just not, I'm not a car person, so I wouldn't know. Things like that.
Yes, and I want to know, what type of stories have you written as a ghostwriter? Have there been some stories that have been more difficult to envision yourself in than others?
I've been fortunate to work with a lot of people that are very good storytellers, enable somebody to open up and have them start to paint the picture, as difficult as it sounds, because they are great storytellers and I'm just doing a good job of putting myself in the position that they are. I do have to do a lot of research to make sure that the places and the tactile things that they discuss are the way it's perceived.
Sorry, you cut out for a second there. Are you okay? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. So yeah, it's challenging, but it's very rewarding because I'm able to help people tell their story.
Okay, thank you. And I want to know, so you say that you do these interviews with people and you collect information about them, how they would phrase certain things, what their day-to-day vocabulary contains. Do you also ask them about their family members, or do you talk to anybody else than the author just to get a sense of the characters that they might include in their story? Or I'm wondering, for a memoir or just a type of writing that's based on a true story, do you look up the facts, or is there a lot of data collection beforehand?
Do a lot of data collection. If there have been newspaper articles, if there have been speeches, if there's film or video of the person, I will look at those and I will use those. And that really helps me focus on their external qualities. How do they walk? How do they take up space? How do they show up when other people are around? So externally, that is great. I'll interview other people, but when you're trying to recreate someone's memory, it's not necessary to interview somebody else because it's their own internal understanding of what the facts are. And if you think about, people say there's always the three sides of facts. There's that person's side, the other person's side, and then there's the truth. I'm not there to decide what the truth is. I'm there to tell the story of the author.
I want to know, for someone who might want to get into how would they get into the industry? what skills are essential. I'm assuming that empathy would be one of them, because you have to empathize with the author and write their story. But what qualities do you believe that a ghostwriter needs to have?
I think a ghostwriter needs to be patient, understanding, tenacious, curious. Those are probably the top personality traits to become a ghostwriter. When I began, I found a mentor, somebody who had been in the industry, and I was able to interview this person. We met several times at a local coffee shop, and he gave me a lot of tips. I ended up working differently than he did. He would go and he'd travel with somebody. He'd move to their home and live with them for 3 or 5 days. And I didn't do that. I don't do that. I will interview somebody. But the more collateral I can gather about the person I'm interviewing is the key to being successful in writing a good story. And to become a ghostwriter, you need to be a good writer, but you also have to be able to put your ego aside. That's going to be probably the hardest part for any writer, any author. Most people really enjoy other people knowing that their words are out there. They want to look at the bookshelf and they want to see their name on the spine of the book. And that doesn't always happen. A lot of times, nobody knows I'm doing it. And I'll have some things I'm so very proud of and I can go observe them from afar, but I'm not able to actually tell people that it's mine. So that's a really important aspect of being a ghostwriter. There are so many classes and so many websites that you can find about ghostwriting if you wanted to become a ghostwriter. But the most important part is to be a writer, to be a listener, to be empathetic and patient. Those are probably the biggest things that you need to be able to be a successful ghostwriter.
Okay, and now I'd like to know, are there any stories that you've written? I know you can't mention titles or anything that have really stood out to you or that you would have said are your best works. Maybe you could tell us a little bit of the storyline or just tell us why those you'd consider your best pieces of work.
I know that one of them, I was able to work with a former W prisoner of war from the Vietnam War, and his story was phenomenal. He was a very good storyteller, and I was amazed at his ability to not only share his memories, but then be forgiving of the people that were so cruel to him. And so being able to write a story like that is just, it teaches you about humanity in ways that you never would have expected. So things like that are just, they're surprising and they're very heartfelt. They're hard sometimes, but they are heartfelt. It is wonderful to be able to do that. I will say the very first story I ever wrote, my name is on that story and gold medal award for it. And that was super fun. At that point, I was like, I'm in. I'm all in. So we enjoyed sharing that story with the world.
I love that. So what I want to know now is when I hear that a new book has just been published by a celebrity or by someone who is an expert in a field, I always wonder if they're the person who actually wrote the book or if they got a ghostwriter. And I bet you would know the answer to this. Or do most celebrities get ghostwriters, or do they write some of it themselves and also talk to the ghostwriter and communicate with them? Or how does it usually work?
Excellent question. My guess is that they have really good editors. I like to say a lot of times I'm a ghost editor. So somebody brings me something that's a mess and I don't just fix it. I redo it so that it's something somebody could present to an editor or a publisher. I think a lot of people are contacted by publishing houses and they are given a ghostwriter or an editor to work with. And that person helps them niche down their story, their topic, so that it is something that can go to press at a relatively quick pace. And I would also say, however, if you think about celebrities, and I'm not thinking of, say, someone from The Real Housewives, or Jersey Shore. I'm thinking of somebody that is a true artist. If you think of like actors that are just really super creative, they probably are already talented writers. And it's like musicians, how they can play so many different instruments because they're really good. So anyone who's that creative is probably really good. So while they have a person that's there helping shape their story, they probably do a lot of it themselves.
Okay, thanks for the clarification, because sometimes I read books from celebrities. Did they write this? Did they not write this? Like, this sounds too good.
I will tell you, one of the tricks is to listen to how they present themselves when they're being interviewed, and then go back and read what they say. And if it doesn't match, you know that they had a ghostwriter.
Yes, that's a good litmus test. Now I want to know, with your writing and being a ghostwriter, did you ever feel as though you were giving up a part of your self-expression or your identity when you first got into ghostwriting? And if someone wants to be a ghostwriter, how can they frame it differently?
Interestingly, I don't think that I ever let ghostwriting interfere with my desire to be a writer. As a matter of fact, it could have been that ghostwriting saved me from myself. When I sit down and try to put my own thoughts onto paper, I can write short episodic things, no problem. And I have a blog, I've put it out there. I'm actually working on my own memoir, which is a lot of fun. But I have been working on this memoir for 5 years when I could write a book in probably 4 months for somebody else. So it's given me permission to practice my craft without having to tap into my own insecurities.
And do you write for yourself on the side? So let's say you're ghostwriting for somebody else. Do you also take time out of the day to do your own writing, or do you mainly do ghostwriting?
I am my thinking through writing. So I will do a lot of writing. I used to be an avid journaler, and I don't journal nearly as much as I should, because I feel like journaling is just one of the best things you can do to get your thoughts from the swirl of your head onto a paper. Like, you pull it out of your brain and it goes somewhere else and you can think clearer. And so I do think on the paper, and that helps me to process the things that I'm working on. I am, for example, I'm still a professor, and I will do a lot of my thought process for the classes I'm preparing. And I will write it out much like I would an essay, so that it's clear to me. And then I can teach it that way, even though nobody will see my notes.
And now I want to ask, because you brought up the fact that you're a professor, how do you manage all of this? The ghostwriting, writing on your own, and being a professor. What time management skills do you put into place?
I love time blocking. For example, I have my own podcast, and I will have a morning where I do interviews and editing, and that will be like an entire morning. So I block that off. And then I will do writing projects, plan ahead. So everything's planned out for my week or even my month. And then if it's on my calendar, it gets done.
I love that idea of time blocking, because most people have a to-do list, and you realize that if you just make the time for it, then sometimes you're more inclined to do it because you block that time period off. I want to know now, for someone who is just hoping to become a better writer, what methods, maybe it's like you said, journaling every day, or what can they do to improve the quality of their writing?
Journaling every day is definitely a good thing. Now our computers are so smart. I'm not saying use AI, because I don't believe in that, but we have Grammarly and we have spell check. We have a lot of things at our disposal that can help us. The trick is to pay attention. When I was a senior, spell check came out. So the little red squiggly line would underline a word that the computer doesn't recognize. At that moment, I would have to guess how to spell it, because it didn't have, like, now you can click a button and it'll give you guesses of what it thinks you mean. It didn't do that back then. It just told you, we don't know what it is. So I would still have to go look it up. So I started to pay attention to the spelling of words, and I made it into a game. When I started writing professionally, I did the same thing. I would have an editor, and they would come back to me with, this is incorrect because of this, was incorrect because of this. And I just would pay attention and start to see words. If you decide to become a writer, reading will be an entirely different experience for you because you start reading with a writer's eye rather than reading with a reader's eye.
And now I want to know, this is a controversial, but I know some writers who are overly verbose, where they'll try to incorporate the entire dictionary into their writing. And I want to know your take on having an intermediate vocabulary in your writing, but also balancing it out so it's concise and to the point.
I am a concise and to the point writer. I think that's a superpower, but I also believe in painting beautiful pictures. There's a balance between writing short and adding details. Simply put, when you add the senses, all five of them, to your work, it will automatically start to resonate with your audience. And if you use words that your audience has to go look up, you have lost your audience. So I do not believe in using words that would not be in your normal everyday vocabulary. Absolutely use your thesaurus so that you're not saying car 25 times on the page, but you could say hot rod, you could say convertible, you could say automobile. There's different things you could say instead of using the same word over and over again. But I never recommend using words that you would not use in your everyday language. And by the way, if you do now, people will assume that you've used artificial intelligence to do your work.
Okay, thank you so much. This is such an insightful conversation, talking about ghostwriting and then also even the technicalities of writing. Can I ask, if people want to connect with you, where could they find you? Do you have a website? Do you have social media channels? You mentioned you had a podcast.
Yes, I do. They can reach me at revelcoach.com, and that's R-E-V-E-L-C-O-A-C-H story, revelcoachstory.com. And I keep telling myself I'm switching my AllisonNissen.com website over to that website. I haven't done it yet, but I have taken a lot of my documents off of that one. So that one's kind of just a shell at the moment. I need to move it. Although it is still there and you can get to that way as well. Also, I have a podcast. I was trying to remember what the other question was. Florida Writer Podcast. So the Florida Writer Podcast, it's a podcast about writing and other things. And I speak to authors, editors, publishers, and industry influencers. That comes out approximately once a week. And it's been around for about 5 years, maybe five and a half. So it's been a joy. And then I have Rebel Coach Conversations with my sister, who is my co-founder of Rebel Coach.
Okay, thank you so much. And please do go and connect with Allison. If you like this podcast and you want more episodes like this, please leave a review and share with a friend or family member. We hope to see you next time.
Bye-bye.